It's time now for Oh the Humanities, taking a look at humanities scholarship research and events on campus and beyond. Obviously, the COVID-19 outbreak is forcing campus to close and classes to go online, but the work of classes goes on, the work of scholarship goes on, and some events are even going on as well. Those are being held online too. So for more on the impact of COVID-19 on campus, how it's affecting faculty members as they're looking to switch from in-person to online classes and how the university is handling it, we're joined on the phone right now by Lloyd Kramer, who heads up Carolina Public Humanities, humanities.unc.edu, for more on them. He's also the chair of the UNC faculty, and the faculty council had a meeting just a couple of days ago on Friday, so we can get the update there. We'll also be joined by Max Orr of Carolina Public Humanities coming up in just a couple of minutes. But Lloyd, thank you so much for being with us. How are you?
I'm fine, Aaron. It's good to be with you.
So how are all of these changes impacting faculty members? I know as someone who teach a class at Durham Tech, and we're having to do the exact same thing, completely refiguring how we teach and how we convey information. How are faculty members managing it?
Well, it's obviously been a period of great transition and a lot of challenges, but the faculty have truly rallied to figure out new ways to teach. A lot of the traditional ways in which we interact with students have to be transformed through the online format, but I think that most faculty have been experimenting with ideas about what might work. Some people are using classes that meet at the regular time of their classes. Others are scheduling special, more flexible hours, or people are posting lectures online that people can look at whenever it's convenient for them. So there are many models for how people are trying to interact.
What was the tenor of the discussion at the faculty meeting on Friday?
The faculty council meeting was very interesting. It took place on Zoom, so council members had to zoom in their questions. I think the faculty were generally very supportive of what the university is doing. There were questions about some changes in the grading policies. We're making a much more flexible pass-fail, so that now every undergraduate student has the option to choose a pass-fail designation for their spring courses, if they choose to do that. There are also concerns about how people can complete their research, especially if students have a project in a lab or if they're using rare books in a library or an archive. So there's a lot of discussion about how we can compensate students for access to resources they would otherwise have. How can we adjust their research plans?
Do you think those conversations are going well, or is the university doing a good job? Or I guess you talk about the university, but just academia in general, because every campus is having these same questions. Are we doing a good job coming up with answers to these?
Well, I think there's a huge challenge in that most faculty love the interactions of a classroom and the give and take of a classroom discussion and so forth. But with Zoom, which is what most people are using, you can get a fairly active discussion going on your computer. There is concern, though, that some students are living in isolated areas or places where they have poor access to the internet. And I think the university is taking good steps to find ways for those people to have access. But that's one of the main issues. How do you sustain an equitable opportunity for everyone, no matter where they may be living or what their internet access might be?
And I know there's speaking with Lloyd Kramer, I know there's a lot of conversations among faculty members and academics, and you mentioned it there a couple of minutes ago, the difference between asynchronous and synchronous classes, where do you hold a lecture, try to recreate the class discussion as much as possible and have everyone come together at a set time, or do you just post a lecture online or post an announcement or a link and just have people access it at their own time? Those are two really different options, but they each have their pros and cons, right?
That's right. They're very different methods. The one method tries to retain more or less the structure of the usual class meeting time, The other one is more flexible. I'm going to let my colleague Max tell you more about what he's doing, because he has a very large class of 120 students, so he can give you the nuts and bolts. But I just want to stress how much the faculty are committed to trying to serve students during this incredibly difficult time. And we're trying to be as flexible as we can, even though we realize that many aspects of what we do don't quite match online what we do in the classroom. But I think Max can give you a better overview, and I just appreciate the chance to share these general observations with you.
Well, Lloyd Kramer, thank you so much for being with us. Again, you can get more, of course, at unc.edu for more on UNC in general, humanities.unc.edu for more on Carolina Public Humanities. And we're joined now by Max Orr, Executive Director of Carolina Public Humanities. Again, humanities.unc.edu for more information there. And Max, thanks for being with us on the phone as we kind of refigure this segment along with everything else in the world. Lloyd mentioned you teach a class with more than 100 students in it. What is that class, and how is it going, reconfiguring it for going online, essentially?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Aaron. I do want to say how nice it is to hear my long-lost colleague, Lloyd Kramer's voice. You know, we're all so separated from each other, so it's really nice to know that he's out there doing his thing. It's really a challenge. You know, I say in particular, I think humanities courses and history courses are always best done live, right? Discussion and dialogue and feedback and even presentation, the lecture itself, are all really better live. And our teaching assistants are affected by this most of all, because they're, you know, students. Of course, the students are affected, and, you know, that's the first impact. But our teaching assistants are students, as well as being, learning how to teach and being teachers. So they're getting it both sides. They're really losing this opportunity. I would say on that whole question of synchronous and asynchronous teaching, I really think fairness demands asynchronous options due to technology, time, and other impositions on students. I've had some students who have to work during class times. Some of them have difficulties with technology at home. If everybody comes home, we're finding, and I find this too in my house, our internet can't take a bunch of people who are either students streaming at the same time or whatever it is. You know, a lot of people are doing their work from home and having to take up all that connection and bandwidth. So the asynchronous option is really the only one for us. And so we've gone with that, and I can give you some details on that for sure.
Yeah, please do.
Well, then I'll just go right ahead and let you know how we're doing pre-recorded lectures. I think one of the things is whether you're doing synchronous or asynchronous, the world has discovered Zoom.
Yes.
This word is like probably the number one word in all of the zeitgeist is Zoom. And not many people remember the TV show, at least my students don't, when I made a reference to it. At any rate, Zoom, I found out it brings out the blue in my skin, so that's one of the weaknesses of doing anything on Zoom. So what I've done is I pre-recorded my lectures, which is an odd experience. I do find that when I'm lecturing, I'm really feeding off of the energy of the room, if you will. It's not quite like a concert, but it's the same sort of thing. There is an element of, you know, a student asks a question, or you just get a sense of your pacing by having a live audience. So I do find it's hard to do that. But I've pre-recorded the lectures. We've put the readings online, and we've put forum questions online for them. And so all the students have an asynchronous way to engage with text, engage in conversations with their TAs and peers, as well as get the lecture and sort of the data in an asynchronous format. But I've also added at class time, for those that would like to come, things like a video viewing party, if you will. So I'll play a video that's related to the course material and then discuss it with whoever wants to do that with me. And I know that the TAs have set aside, essentially their office hours will be Zoom sessions in which there'll be as much discussion as can be.
That's awesome.
With the limited number of people that can come. So trying everything we can, you know, and it's we'll see how it works. But you know, I'm very glad that the university has put in options for students to mitigate the damage that this sudden shift in pedagogy might have on them.
And this is a point where, as a humanities professor and scholar at UNC, being at UNC in Chapel Hill might give you a little bit of an advantage, because UNC has actually done a good job really going all in on the idea of digital humanities. So there is a lot of online material that already exists that you can access and that anyone can access, right?
Yeah, and we have a fantastic library system and a great collection as well. So, one of the things my students, as you know, I'm a public humanist, I really believe in engaged humanities. So my students were actually going out to public programs and building their final paper project on their experiences. So I kind of had to scrap that one, didn't I? So we've switched over to documents, but I'm really happy to say that the library has, incredible collections of primary source documents to build, on the fly, a total.
Now, I think we might have just lost Max Orr, unfortunately. We'll try to get him back, but unfortunately, I think we might have to leave it there. Again, humanities.unc.edu for more information on humanities scholarship events and research on campus and beyond. And I know that Max wanted to get the word out that the work of Carolina Public Humanities is going to continue. Again, a lot of the events that were planned were going to be in-person events, and going online, of course, they're going to have to do, but some of those events are in the process of happening. They had a big one at the end of last week that went on online, and the Humanities Happy Hour is going to continue to go on. I think this Thursday at 6 p.m. is the next event. But again, thanks to Max Orr and Lloyd Kramer for joining us on the phone, and you can get more information at humanities.unc.edu.